Welcome to the Untangle and Thrive podcast, where we talk about real problems, real clients, and real solutions. Now here is your host, Angela McKinney.
Well, hello, my friends, and welcome back. It's so good to be here with you all. Oh, so I just had such a lovely, long weekend. And it's because I was in this quiet house. My husband went to visit his family in Atlanta, and my little guy boys, I've got two boys, their father was at Sundance for the film festival, and I had him for a long stretch. Usually he has him for a few days. So they went to his house, and my husband left, and so I had this no boy zone house. There was just quietness and stillness. Don't get me wrong, I love the noise of little guys running in my house and, you know, running out. There's nothing that gives me more joy. And there's nothing that resets my nervous system when it's quiet, when they're gone. You know, I'm one of those people who doesn't do well with background noise, who doesn't like listening to a television. Just if it's on and just a room, it will bother me. If my husband's walking around with those big earmuffs and he's listening to some obnoxious, I don't know, podcast or talk radio personality, I can hear it. And I can't, I'm so sensitive to noise. So what I got present to was the absence of noise just showed me I need more of this. I need to take myself to Kripala by myself, you know, every month. I need to go for those really long walks because I get up before everyone else does in my household and I have my practice, but it's not the same thing as basking and savoring in days of stillness, right? Days of stillness. And so I'm delighted to sort of come back and be here with you. And you know, there's noise going on my street right now. There's, I don't know what the truck is doing. So I apologize. You're as noise sensitive to what's coming into this microphone right now. There's not much. I'm pretty powerless over it. I can't really do much other than stop and come back. But I really wanted to record right now. So I've talked a lot about the nervous system and the importance and criticalness of restoring safety, internal safety, that without safety, it's very hard to access new experiences. It's very hard to play in the world and take risk. It's very hard to belong to your clarity and your purposeful movements. We've got to really understand how to work with safety. Otherwise, we're managing disorganized systems of overwhelm or unconscious threats that's really locking us into certain patterns. And then we're managing the thinking of those patterns. We're trying to change the thinking. And it's we can just waste so much time and energy in that system. So the Untangle method is a method to address the system that's holding and creating all the problems, and learn to challenge the system, stepping out of it, challenging it, because we will not move into a new system unless our brain and our body really get people that this new system is going to create more pleasure, more stability, and more efficiency. Now, pleasure is a very tricky word, right? Because we have a very tangled experience with pleasure. So I'm going to spend some time discerning between resourceful pleasure and unresourceful pleasure and why really we're engineered to go towards pleasure. And that's not a bad thing. You hear so much, oh, pleasure's bad. Pleasure that's using our bodies, or we're not addressing the unconscious threats, or we're not getting clarity from the overwhelm because those feel feels threatening to our body, then we are very vulnerable to go towards pleasure in unhelpful ways. We'll drink, we'll overeat, we'll check out on social media, we'll get lost in vagueness. We'll just be spinning the pleasure, short-term pleasure wheels, so to speak. So most people will talk about that pleasure. And I'm here to say, okay, that's the noise. Those are the noisy underreaches of short-term pleasure. But what I'm talking about is restorative pleasure. Restorative pleasure is enjoying, it's a pleasure of belonging, people, to our life more fully and receiving that pleasure of that belonging is restorative pleasure. And I'm going to talk today about money and how that looks in a money story, okay? Because I want to say something before I move to money with pleasure. If we don't learn how to belong to the movements of restorative pleasure and having new experiences being with ourselves in that relationship, then we do not unwind from that old system that creates a lot of disorganization and pain and suffering for so many of us. Okay? So many people think that because they've used pleasure to numb, to cope, to avoid, to disassociate, to try to connect, to have sex, whatever, because we've utilized it in shame-orientated ways, ways that we don't feel good about. We get this warped relationship to pleasure as it's bad. And therefore, the lack of pleasure is going to make us better. Oh, boy. And we're just in this reactive state with it, and we don't trust ourselves with pleasure when we've been living in the shame baths around short-term pleasure, right? And then we're just trying to cleanse ourselves from all that toxic pleasure and shame more accurately. Okay, so we could spend a whole life right over there in that swimming pool, right? And we're just so consumed with it because it's very consuming that we're not even really, so you get how you could just spend your whole life there, right? And we don't get well fixing ourselves in the system that creates all the problems. So that system, we can try to manage it. We can try to withdraw from it, constrict from it, diet ourselves into some thriving life. That just doesn't work. And I just want to help you, not waste your time. Okay. And then everyone can start to think about their thinking. But again, to me, thinking is a symptom of the system you're organizing in. And what we know about the neuroscience of today and the neurobiology of trauma resolution, which is just another fancy word for disorganization, emotional disorganization, is we know that we need to deal with our biology, our body, people, and we need system capacity to unwind from disorganization. We don't need to just change our thinking. We need a system shift. So that's what the Untangle Method does. It provides a systematic shift from the bottom up. And when we've systematically shifted ourselves out of an old system and into a new one, our thinking, by the way, organically gets washed. We don't have to hypervigilantly wash our thinking. It just gets washed. It's an incredible experience. And oh, by the way, when we've had a systematic shift, we can't go back to that old system. It's very difficult to go back to it. It's almost near impossible. What will happen, though, is you'll see in some areas that system is still alive and active. So why I love helping people with one little thing is it provides a systematic shift where you're not the same in that relationship we untangle, and then you can untangle another area and then go to another area and go to another area so that your whole life has become untangled into an integrated growth system. Okay, and if you haven't listened to my series, definitely go back in the podcast and check out the first five. So let's get back to money, because money shame is one of the most brutal, debilitating relationships we can ever have. Yeah, money shame. It affects every single relationship in our life. And often we're bonding with it and we don't even know that we're enslaved to money shame because we're managing the symptoms of money shame, which looks like under-earning and stressed out by not being able to pay our bills, which looks like very small living or not asking for doing trade services or not asking for people to pay you or not having a good system of raising your value consistently and receiving more money. It looks like overspending, mindlessly overspending, being very disconnected with how much credit card debt you have or how much money it's going to take to pay off your credit card debt and or pay off your house or and have financial security in the future. It looks like a life of hiding and managing and trying to fix yourself into something. And yet withholding that system together is money shame. Money confusion, money shame. Confusion is another symptom of unrecognized shame. Overwhelm, money overwhelm, another symptom of unrecognized money shame. Money shame is brutal, and we partner up in our relationships to sex. It could flip over to sexual shame or sexual starvation or anorexia. So it's a huge source of tangled confusion. So we use money, and why I love working with money, because money is intimacy. You heard it, people. It's intimacy. Many of my clients who have sexual addiction or issues of connectedness, which most of my clients have, by the way, we all do, by the way, if we're in any disorganization, we have connection issues, we have visibility issues, we have receiving issues. A lot of my clients are obsessed with working out their relationship, whether it's boyfriend, girlfriend, or marriage. They're not locating the belly of shame that's over here in this other area of their value, of their intimate connection to their value, which is money. And they may be chasing outside validation and making a lot of money because they feel so shitty inside and they think that's going to take care of this money shame or connection shame or sex shame, but it never does. Never does. Just creates these cycles of insanity, of bondage, of lying, of pain and suffering and disorganization, because at the core root here, people, with money shame, it's a sense of feeling safe with being seen and valued. Being seen, being safe, and feeling that you are worthy of your value, of receiving value connection. If you don't have that, if that's not available in your present system, then you're locked, blocked away, and then you're in these disorganized patterns and cycles in a system that's not available for stepping out of it. Because stepping out of any system requires getting safe within your body to step out and be more visible, get more located, get more seen, and understand your value and your significance, and start putting a new language and a new system underneath your feet to support that process. Money shame is painful to locate, often because it's such a desired state of intimacy and sexuality as well. And it gets sourced inside of us through early childhood relationships and through a family system most often. And it gets transacted, and it gets, depending on our family system and our primary money person in that system and the primary relationship you sort of have about yourself in that relational system, it starts to influence and color your money story, your money relationship. And so it's confusing because it's early childhood stuff, people. It goes back a long time, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age. Okay. And so many of us don't know how to locate this money story, because we think it's something else. We don't realize it's a relationship in our body that we're recreating. And often if we've had inappropriate relationships from childhood, if we've had abusive relationships from childhood, if money's been a source of keeping us quiet or silencing us or shaming us, are keeping someone down in the family system or however it was organized, what starts to happen is we start to internalize shame and confusion and not feeling safe to be more seen because maybe something dirty went on, maybe something bad went on, maybe something inappropriate went on. And because no one's recognized it or seen it, we internalize it. And then we just rebond with it and recreate with it. And it starts to form, yes, all of our beliefs, our unconscious beliefs, by the way. And then those systems start to create our money problems. So I had a very tangled relationship to money. And this is what's so funny about people who have tangled relationships to money. Where do you think they go? What is the professional field that they're most attracted to? I think you might be surprised. Well, there's a lot. Of course, the artist has usually some tangled relationship to money. And, you know, artist types tend to live in poverty and scarcity. And that's a whole thing, yes. But people who really want to try to fix themselves, they go to the financial services. And why is it that most financial advisors, something like 80 or 85%, have horrible personal financial lives? It's kind of the people who have sex problems go to becoming a priest, it seems like, right? So anything that feels out of control, you tend to want to move towards trying to control it. So people will go to the financial service business thinking that knowledge is going to fix their out of control money situation. That professional knowledge or some sort of structure that's outside of yourself is going to make you better and it's going to get you financially well. Okay, that just doesn't work, people, unless it's coming from an integrated system. But most people are in a reaction to something that they're not addressing and they think it's going to get fixed through this pursuit. Well, then I'll never have sex again. I'll be celibate, right? I'll go over there extreme, or I'm going to go learn everything I can about money. And then I'll hate it, but at least I'll have the information so I get knowledgeable and knowledge is somehow going to, you know, make me better. Well, it doesn't. It definitely can. We want to get knowledgeable, but if we have a tangled relationship to money, we really, and if you're struggling with money, asking for money, receiving money, planning money, being in alignment reality with money, then you want to invite yourself into what is your relationship to money. And you want to untangle it. You want to use those three steps to drill into this relationship. So I had a very confusing relationship with my father. He had a fascinating life, by the way. I'm going to do a whole podcast on my dad. He needs like his own 30 minutes. He was grew up in Kentucky, poor. His father was a violent drunk. His mother abandoned 6 of the kids. His father was put in jail for murdering someone. Yeah, I mean, I come from real rural, like crazy Kentucky, Tennessee roots people. I know it's hard to imagine, but I do. He was slave labored on a farm. He was starved. Finally, the state intervened, pulled him out. At age, 10, he started to go to school. He was in first grade at age 10 and humiliated and embarrassed. But the main point of my father's story and what I love about his story and what needs its own show, honestly, is the man who stepped in to defend his father in that murder case left such an impression, such an imprint on my father's imagination, on his heart, that my father knew what he was going to do with his life. And that's what he did. He became a defense lawyer, and that's it's a long story. Now, my father, he was a great man on many levels, and he was a very tortured, traumatized little boy on other levels. And he was violently abused, and I think he was sexually mistreated, and the list is very long. So we had a very complicated relationship. And money was an enhancer of that complication. And my father was really inappropriate with me and very confusing with me. I was really the mistress of the family, and my mom was the dog shit meat, sort of. Bleh. And it was clear to everyone and anyone who would be around us, the sort of worshiping and the platform he put me into and, you know, played out with me. It was so confusing. So I had tremendous amounts of guilt for causing my mom pain. And I had incredible amounts of pleasure for being so powerful at such a young age. You see how painfully confusing that is. A lot of pleasure, but a lot of pain, a lot of confusion. Well, the brain doesn't do well when it's all murky like that. It's so murky. We don't even know where to go, right? So what was the byproduct of it was I, at one point, became old enough, all of 13, to sort of want to draw a line with my father and say, you know what, Dad, I'm not just sort of not available for this anymore. I kind of like boys and I want to be with boys. Well, this was just unacceptable. So my father called me a whore and he told me to take my fat mom with me and he kicked us both out of the house. Very confusing, right? So then we go to LA and bounce around a lot. Yeah, Southern Hillbillies landing in Beverly Hills. It was a bad reality TV show. But why I'm sharing this with you is because money started to replace him. He did send us money, but money started to become this concealer of this horrible reality. It started to try to sort of, it contaminated the reality. It would have almost been cleaner had we never talked to him or he had just completely cut us off. But money stepped in for him and then it confused me because it felt like then had to buy me because we were so desperate for the money that I couldn't challenge him and I couldn't challenge all the truth of all the horrible things that had happened because I couldn't imagine my depressed mom who couldn't get out of bed for a long time. I couldn't imagine putting language to it again and having more suffering, pain, and right terror happening to our family. So I buried it and I felt as though he bought me, which creates a lot of shame, right? So now I've got this very tangled money relationship. Okay, and I'm all of 14 years of age, right? And most of us have this, and mine's a little dramatic. It's not terribly dramatic compared to other people's stories, but it's a little dramatic. So the exchange was this in my body. If I desire money, if I let myself desire money, this was the problem, people. If I let myself desire money, I had to connect to all the pain of my desires that broke my family apart. I desired to be with boys, not my dad. That broke our family apart. I had to survive. I couldn't really own my reality. That broke my internal family system apart. I had to exchange money with my father to help keep the family going. That broke my own sense of autonomy and feeling that I could own my desires in a healthy way and not have it be some threat to the world or to my own self. So I had to get so okay with this little girl part of me that really did desire the sort of weirdness of our relationship that was so powerful. I had to get so okay with that in order to allow myself the space to desire money in a healthy, integrated way. Now, that's not an easy task, right? But it sure is a hell of a lot easier than managing an anorexic under-earning life. Getting okay with all of it, people. The mess, the confusion, the inappropriateness, the shame, the desires. getting okay with all of it is a lot easier than recreating these relationships and then managing them. Can you hear that? Getting okay took me such a short amount of time. Once I untangled my money story, it took such a short amount of time for me to get okay to create space to build a new relationship to money compared to the decades I spent in that old system that wired me into this confusing, tangled, destructive money relationship of shame. Does it make sense? So we locate our money, we locate our money story by just asking the question, if money, and again, this is my untangle method, money could whisper to your body, what's it have you feel and think? If you really starve in anorexia with money, what would desiring money, what do you have to connect with in yourself that forces some uncomfortability out on the table? And I had to get okay that the part of me that was little really liked being desired and that I did not need to suffer for that the rest of my life, right? I had to get okay with the little girl who really liked all of that attention, and I did not need to murder myself over that. I was the kid. He was the adult. He should have known better. I had to sort of give away. I had to take and also give back to him, and I had to get okay that I was 13 with a depressed mom, and I had to survive. And though it felt like I let him buy me, it was survival. And I have to get okay and forgive the part of me that felt like I was a prostitute. It's okay. I felt that I was a prostitute. Was I a prostitute? Well, it felt that way, but I was just trying to survive. So I had to get okay with that. Okay? I'm not fixing myself. I'm just increasing my capacity to get really okay with the fullness and the darkness and the murkiness and the confusion of a money story, which, oh, by the way, most of us have these confusing, murky relationships to money. And they just create this shame and confusion. And we've got to just get okay with exploring what it is. Once I got okay and I let myself off the hook that I didn't have to suffer with money anymore, that I was okay to forgive myself. I was okay to own all of myself, my inappropriate desires, which weren't inappropriate, by the way, because I was a child. My feeling like I was a prostitute, I wasn't a prostitute. I felt like one. I had to get okay with it. I had to get okay to forgive myself and have compassion for that journey. And once I started to clear that space of okayness and open myself up, I started to then be able to create such an intimate, nurturing, activating, creative, loving relationship to money. To money. To the ways I make money, the ways I receive money, the way I give money, the way I want to create a meaningful relationship to money. Okay? And that allows us to metabolize the shame, to unwind ourselves from the shame, to let go of the shame, and to open up to going, I get to own this money story now. It used to own me, but now I get to own it. I get to bring myself to it with all of this insight. And it is powerful, people. It is powerful. And it's a muscle of capacity. And you'll hear me say this all the time, but it is. I had to go from this starved little capacity of barely surviving. And when I say that this was with me for decades, I am not lying, okay? I did not have a Tony Robbins capacity to put myself out there and make a lot of money. But I have a capacity to earn really well and receive it because I untangled my stinky, shame-based, confusing childhood relationship to connection and my value and my desires. So that's my invitation for you, is to just play getting okay with all of your experiences and how it's impacted your money relationship and raising you up to your fullest capacity. Because the more okay we get with the past and the more we can forgive ourselves for some of this confusion, the more we get ourselves matched into a new system, into a new connectedness, that I don't have to suffer anymore. I actually can get some receptive, joyful pleasure and make money in a new way that isn't about escapist pleasure, but it's receiving my self-pleasure. It's taking in my value in a healthy, restorative way. Okay, people, that's it for today. I hope you have a great day. Bye.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, check out our life skills programs. We take these creative life skills and integrate them into a practice. Check out the details at www.untangleandthrive.com/program.